time do you need to get up in the morning?
My voice is hoarse from sex. For real, that's a thing I never really got until this summer. Thank God I don't share a bedroom wall with the kids.
Around 4:30.
With a strained effort, I crack open my eyes to check the clock on my nightstand.
It's almost midnight. Don't you need more sleep?
The man has to be exhausted. I don't know where he gets his stamina.
Gonna be too hot this week to work in the afternoons, so I'll need to get more done at night. The upshot is maybe I can grab a nap during the day.
Let me know what you need me to do, how I can help you.
You do enough, baby.
Rolling over to use him as a body pillow, I toss my leg over his. We're both wearing underwear, but our chests are skin to skin, and he's so warm I wanna purr.
Don't tell anyone, but I'll be your sex slave, I admit. It's a rough job, but someone has to do it. The rumble of laughter in his chest makes me smile.
I happen to have an opening.
Lucky me.
He kisses the top of my head.
I'd say lucky me.
We lie in silence, the moon casting long shadows through the curtains at the edge of my room. Drawing circles on his chest, I let out a sigh of relief for how today went.
I'm so glad the judge approved your proposal.
God, me too. The guy who provides the livestock is on board, and we've worked out that contract. I just hope negotiations with Allison go as smoothly. We spent a lot of time arguing last year, but I thought things were beginning to chill out.
I have a theory. I'm sure her finding us half naked in the back of your truck didn't help much.
He heaves a frustrated sigh.
You're probably right.
Sometimes it's hard for people to move on.
I think back to Vivian's situation with her ex, David, whom she tossed away like a used tissue. When we spoke earlier today, though, you'd think he was the love of her life.
The only thing I'm concerned about is Allison's willingness to be a silent partner. She's never taken an interest in the horses or the business, so that bodes well for us. But having an ex as a partner is not ideal. Logan just wants me to compete again, and he's willing to do anything to make that happen, even put up with her.
My hand stills on his chest. Yeah, when I came up with the brilliant plan, I wasn't really thinking about how that would connect Ethan to Allison even more long term. This is why I should stick to things like cooking and crafts and bartending. But I don't want to compound Ethan's worry. Maybe you guys need time for the dust to settle.
I hope so, babe.
Turning me in his arms, he lets out a laugh.
I feel like you know my dirty laundry. Please tell me you have a crazy ex story, too.
That's one topic I haven't shared this summer, but it's probably not fair that I know so much about his life and he doesn't know this huge thing that happened to me last year.
I do. In fact, I could probably top your crazy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I nibble on my lip, hating this subject, but wanting to have this conversation out of the way. I dated someone my last year at UT. I guess I thought we were getting serious, only to find out the guy lied the entire time we dated. Pretended to be devoted, pretended he cared, made all kinds of promises. Until the day I found out the bastard was married.
Are you fucking serious?
Ethan's whole body stiffens, and he shifts us so he can see my face.
What happened? Please tell me his wife caught his sorry ass.
Shame washes over me, and I sit up, pulling the sheet up and tucking it around me. Not exactly. Part of me hates that I never ratted him out to his wife. Leaning up, he pulls me to his chest.
I'm so sorry he hurt you, baby.
That was the reason I didn't want to work for you. After Jamie, I didn't date anyone for over a year, until I moved in with you. I felt like I couldn't trust my judgment anymore because he had me so fooled. When I interviewed with you, I think I was such a bitch that day because you scared me.
scared you?
I nod, glad he can't see the heat traveling up my face. There you were, this really handsome, intense guy. Closing my eyes, I can see him that day. The way those stormy blue eyes pierced through me. The way our chemistry pulsed in the air like a live current. You were dripping wet from washing off in the kitchen sink, flashing those abs and tattoos. A girl would have to be dead, dumb, or decapitated not to be attracted to you. His quiet chuckle makes me shift around to face him. You think this is funny? That I thought you were so hot I probably subconsciously sabotaged the interview because I didn't want to work for someone I was into? That deep down I liked the fact that you were pissed off that day? That I couldn't decide if I wanted to slap you silly or ride you next to your commercial range oven? He groans.
Option number two, please.
Shut up. You made me break my man diet. I laugh and smack his arm, but he catches my wrist and pulls me down until I'm resting on his chest. Do I win? Does my ex's crazy trump Allison's?
You definitely win.
The way he kisses me makes me grateful I couldn't stay away from him. Maybe the worst is behind me, and the best is yet to come. If Ethan is a part of my life, I'm becoming more optimistic about those odds. Chapter 44. Tori. I'm folding a green jumper embroidered with tiny frogs when my Aunt Imelda sits primly next to me and folds her hands.
Isn't this a lovely shower? She asks, her intention as obvious as the gun-toting hooded thief who screams, "This is a robbery!"
Yes, Tia, it's perfect. No dildo cakes. No misgifted sex toys. No embarrassing games. My mother must be delighted. Although my cousin Natalia melted chocolate candies in diapers and made everyone sniff them to guess the candy. That's gross, right? Forcing myself to smile, I try to be grateful. My sister got a beautiful shower. She was happy, and that's all that matters. I won't retaliate with laundry hijinks. My feelings are still a wee bit hurt, but I'm an adult. I can be mature. Isn't that what people call a learning experience? And today, I've learned you have to get to the front of the line for the cake, because that shit goes fast. Aunt Imelda elbows me while her unibrow wiggles like an angry caterpillar.
So when are you going to settle down and marry a good man? You're not getting any younger.
She points to the corners of my eyes like I'm an old hag.
Jesus.
As soon as I pay off my attorney bill from that time I almost got a felony, my mom chokes on her sparkling soda. What? If I give Imelda a civilized answer, I'm giving her positive reinforcement to be an asshole. I don't think my mom hears my internal dialogue because she gives me scary eyes, the ones that make me grateful I'm out of reach. Ugh, I need to get out of here. I always revert to a teenager when I'm around my family. Of course, it takes 10 years to clean up after the party. Thanks, cuz, for not helping with that. Hug everyone and trudge to my car. By the time I reach Ethan's gravel driveway, I'm in desperate need of an alcoholic beverage, preferably something so strong you can light it on fire. Especially when I see Allison's sleek black Lexus parked in front of the house. Motherfuckity. I consider backing out, but she's standing on the porch with Ethan and the kids, and they see me. When I catch the time on the dashboard clock, I let out a curse. Why didn't I realize I might run into her? It's Sunday evening, the time I usually hide from the harpy. When they shift around, probably as bewildered why I'm showing up now as I am, I'm startled by how much they look like a family. All beautiful and tan, with dirty blonde hair and big blue eyes. The kind of perfect people you see glossing the covers of magazines in the grocery store. Reluctantly, I park my junker next to her import, and it rushes through me how much I hate this comparison. I'll never be Allison with her designer clothes and French manicures. I know Ethan doesn't care about that stuff, but it's hard to feel confident next to someone who looks like his ex does. With a quick glance in the rearview mirror to make sure I don't have raccoon eyes, I smooth down my sundress and slide out of the car. Hey, I tell myself. At least this time I'm wearing underwear, and I'm not half naked and hungover in the back of Ethan's truck. Ah, gallows humor. Ethan's attention zeroes in on me like a shaft of sunlight. His eyes connect with mine, travel down my dress, pausing on my cleavage, dip down to my legs, and make a slow lift back to my face. I can't help but smile at him. Hey, guys! The kids immediately grab my legs and try to scale me like a mountain. Allison huffs, ignoring me altogether. Can I invite my parents or not? Ethan shifts awkwardly, running a hand over his scruffy chin.
Didn't think y'all would want to come, honestly. Her chest heaves.
You thought I'd miss my own kid's birthday party?
I thought you'd do something for Cody with your family.
His voice is calm, despite the hellish awkward vibe in the air. That's stupid, Ethan. I should bring my parents here for your party. There's no point in doing separate events for a 2-year-old who won't even remember it. They could use something cheerful since my grandfather just passed. Her shrill voice makes Mila's bottom lip tremble. I hate interjecting, but Mila's 2 seconds from crying, and if she cries, Cody might join her, especially since he's tired and rubbing his eyes. Can I take the kids inside?
No, you cannot take my kids inside, Allison barks.
Ethan places a gentle hand on my shoulder.
Actually, hon, do me a favor and take the kids to the diner for some ice cream.
He pulls out his wallet and hands me a $20 bill. It's obvious he doesn't want Mila and Cody to witness the showdown happening here. I've already told Ethan I'm not comfortable driving his truck, but this is probably his way of not contradicting Allison while still protecting the children. He's such a good guy. He tries so hard. I barely refrain from shooting Allison a dirty look. How could she not want this man?
I don't have car seats in my...
I motion toward my rust heap, and I swear Allison's eye twitches.
Take the truck.
He's reaching for his keys, and I'm shaking my head no, and Mila's yanking on my dress. No, no, no. I can't explain why I shouldn't drive them in front of Allison, not when she's looking at me like I might infect her with the plague. But Ethan opens my palm and makes me take the keys.
Please.
One word. That's all he has to say for my resolve to wane, but I have a sinking suspicion his conversation with Allison was going fine until I showed up. So I want to help him however I can. Sure, yeah. I just hope he's not upset with me when I tell him I can't keep doing this. 45 minutes later, Logan strolls through the door of the Lone Star, pausing briefly to flirt with one of the waitresses before sliding into our booth. Cody is asleep in my arms, his ice cream melted into a puddle in his bowl, and Mila clings to my other side, stressed out from watching her parents argue.
Hey, little darlings, Logan drawls.
I'm too tired to do more than lift my hand. I don't ask why he's here and Ethan's not, but something about that pisses me off more than being in the middle of everything. But damn it, it hurts to hear Mila cry over her parents and how she's worried they're mad at her. Just thinking about it makes my eyes sting and my belly burn with frustration. I want to protect these kids, but they're not mine to protect. I want to protect Ethan, but sometimes he doesn't feel like he's mine either. Like on that porch earlier this evening, I had zero control about anything. And really, who am I to have any say here? I'm the nanny, not their mom. Logan taps a finger on his cell.
Heard you guys had a rough time at the ranch. I'm supposed to bring you home as soon as I get a text.
The meaning is clear. When Allison is gone, we can return. She's still there? Jealousy tears through me at the thought of her being alone with Ethan. Get used to it, genius. You did suggest they remain a team for the sake of the ranch. Plus, it was her house first. Fuck me sideways. This sucks. My emotions must be clear as day because Logan gives me a sympathetic smile. I hate that look. I know it well. It's the one all my friends gave me when they found out I'd been unknowingly dating a married man.
This will all work out. I know my brother.
I nod, fear making me wonder, work out for whom? His phone vibrates and he smiles as if this is proof of our impending happiness. But I have a bad feeling about this. All of this. Logan scoops up Cody and I help him get the kids situated in his truck before I follow them back to the ranch. The familiar sounds of baseball make me smile when we walk through the front door, but my sprig of optimism is quickly dashed. Ethan is sound asleep on the couch. In front of him is an open bottle of wine and two glasses. Ethan drinks beer. I look at Logan, but he just shrugs and helps me carry the kids to bed. He does me a favor and doesn't try to bullshit me and try to make me feel better, and I don't bother to pretend I'm in a good mood. When the kids are asleep, I go to my room and close my door, hoping to have some perspective in the morning. Because right now, I don't have a good perspective. Not at all.
Chapter 45. Ethan. A hard kick to my leg jars me awake.
Ah, what the fuck?
I snarl at my brother, who's hovering over me with an eat shit and die expression. My heart races from the shock to my system, and I realize I've been dozing in the living room. The game is over, and it's dark outside. Shit. How long have I been out? My throat feels like a dusty Texas road after a heat wave. Rubbing the sleep out of my eyes, I try to shake myself out of this lethargy. Long enough. Where are the kids?
In bed, asleep.
Like the slow flicker of a movie reel through a camera, I remember what happened earlier. The scene on the porch. The look on Mila's face as she watched me argue with her mother. Tori's imploring expression when I sent her away. All the arguing. Fuck.
Fuck is right, asshole. What happened here?
He points to the half-empty wine glasses. The mess in front of me looks like something I need to clean up, but that can't be what has his panties in a twist. Why are you looking at me like that? His glare, the kind reserved for men who beat their wives and other scum of the earth, prickles my skin. I tried to talk Allison off the ledge.
With wine?
He paces in front of me. And candles? What the fuck is he talking about? Christ, it's not what you think. I asked her what she wanted to drink, and she helped herself to shit in the kitchen. It's her wine. She bought it and left it here. What's weird about it? And those candles were there before. Weren't they? It's not like we lit them.
Wow. And everyone thinks you're the smart one.
He mutters, crossing his arms. He leans back against the fireplace. What are we even talking about right now? You're mad because I let Allison drink her own wine?
No, asshole, I'm not. I could care less if Allison drank every fucking bottle in the house, but did you bother to consider how this?
He swirls a finger at the stemware on the coffee table. Might appear to your current girlfriend? The one who looked like someone kicked her puppy when I found her comforting your children at the diner? My gut reaction is to scoff. Surely Tori knows my heart by now, that I would never hurt her or cheat on her, much less with my ex. That's a one-way trip to the loony bin. I've never cheated on anyone and don't plan to tarnish that track record. Only lowlifes cheat on their women. But judging by the seriousness in Logan's tone, and let's face it, my brother is rarely serious, except when he's about to level me with something I genuinely need to know, I shouldn't dismiss his concerns. Are Mila and Cody okay? I rasp, finding it hard to say the words with the giant knot in my throat. I want to ask about Tori, too, but one thing at a time. I think so. Mila looked a little worse for wear, but she knocked out as soon as we got home. Cody fell asleep in Tori's arms at the restaurant. The flare of his nostrils tells me what he's gonna say before he says it. You should have been the one to go to the diner. Nodding, I close my eyes. I know. For my kids. For Tori. Did Tori say something? A whole host of things come to mind, most of which I probably deserve for not taking her feelings into consideration before shoving my keys in her face and making her take the kids. Nope, not a word. Just silence. Damn, that's not good. Tori's not one to hide her feelings. Logan lifts his brow. I wasn't the one she wanted to see tonight. Should have been you. The more he says that, the more frustrated I grow. He sits next to me, the weight of everything suddenly suffocating. Doesn't he know I'm doing my best? The divorce, the bills, children who need love and attention constantly, Allison's demands, the horses in my stable, my employees? Feels like I'm juggling 50 balls at once and about to drop the one thing that makes them all collapse to the ground. I don't know what to say except to start at the beginning where all this started. Resting my elbows on my knees, I run my hands through my hair, feeling more exhausted than before I fell asleep. Allison was dropping off the kids. She brought up Cody's birthday and how she wanted to bring her parents and some friends to the party. How did she know about it? He rubs his chin. My guess is Mila spilled the beans. He laughs. That kid. We've done this before, back when Dad died. I sat in this here spot and poured my heart out to my brother, who was only a teenager at the time. Told him my girlfriend was pregnant, and I didn't know which way was up or down. Wasn't sure what I should do. The house was a lot smaller then. Logan's the one who suggested adding on the extra rooms, so Mom could stay here and help with the baby when she arrived. Which would have been great, except Allison never did get along with my mother. He sinks back into the couch and kicks one ankle over the other. So Allison decided to invite herself? Did she even give a shit about the kids' birthdays last year? I shake my head, but he already knows that answer. We were disagreeing, but it wasn't contentious. Well, until... I don't want to say it. Until Tori showed up? He adds helpfully. And now Allison wants to come to the shindig Tori's planning for our family? Fuck. What do I do? I can't tell Tori she can't come to the party. I want her there. She's important to me. But I can't exactly tell Allison she's not invited, not when we're in the middle of negotiating that contract. His head dips back to the back of the couch with a groan. You sure know how to get yourself in a mess. See, this is why bachelor life is great. Want to bang a hot new chick? No problem. Want to fuck two cocktail waitresses at the same time? Someone hand me the lube. But this? He shivers dramatically. This I can't handle. I know I said I was on board with the co-op and having silent investors, but the operative word there is silent. Look at you with the big words. He socks me in the shoulder. I'm just saying, are you sure you want to be tied to Allison for another 4 or 5 years? Because if we do this deal, you're on the hook. We both are. Frustration, hot and fierce, fires up in my gut. What am I supposed to do? Refinance the ranch again? Leave Mom nothing for retirement? She doesn't even have Dad's life insurance because those bastards never paid out. Damn life insurance company argued that he had a pre-existing health condition he failed to disclose and denied Mom's claim. Blowing out a breath, I break it down for Logan. You heard our attorney as plainly as I did. People in our situation can either refinance to pay off the other spouse or sell assets. I spread my arms. Which assets you want to sell? Your house? Some farmland which ain't worth shit except for our houses and barns? The horses, which is where we get our income from? Please, spell it out for me. The pained groan that rumbles out of him tells me he's as worked up as I am, and for a minute, we sit there, silent, muddling through our thoughts with the recap of the Astros game in the background. Shifting on the couch, I try to explain it better. All I did tonight was talk some sense into Allison. Sat her down, let her relax with a glass of wine so she'd stop yapping, and made sure she understood that our disagreements over shit had better start and stop with the kids. That if we sign the co-op contract, she's a silent partner when it comes to the business. With a palm over my mouth, I mumble the rest. I might have offered a bigger percentage for her to promise she wouldn't contest custody of the kids. I cringe, knowing my brother might be pissed, but when we make eye contact, all I see is acceptance. Mila and Cody are yours, and I'll go down fighting to make sure it stays that way. Hate that she's getting more out of this deal, but I can't say I blame you for trying. If those kids were mine, I'd do the same thing. I'm so relieved I could cry. Instead, I squeeze his arm. Thanks for having my back, brother. He ruffles my hair like I'm a kid. Always. Now go explain this shit to Tori. Make sure she gets where you're coming from and doesn't think you were whining and dining your ex-wife. My attention returns to the glasses in front of me, to the red lipstick on the stemware, to the half-empty bottle of Pinot. God damn it. I have to believe she knows me better than that. The hard thud of my heart in my chest is all I hear as I tap on Tori's bedroom door, but there's no answer. With a twist of the handle, it opens, and I'm relieved. So fucking relieved she didn't lock me out. Tor? Her petite outline curled up on the bed sends a bittersweet ache through me. What would she and I be like without all the drama? If we were just two singles in Austin bumping into each other on a Friday evening over drinks in a bar. I'd ask her out in a second. I'd spare no expense to make her feel special. Instead, tonight, I asked her to whisk away the kids while I dealt with my ex-wife. How long will Tori deal with that kind of baggage? In my head, I consider all the reasons this would have been easier if we hadn't gotten involved, if we'd kept things professional, because the boss in me feels like I'm taking advantage of her by asking her to do me personal favors, like watch my kids on a Sunday night. But the boyfriend in me? Yeah, he's grateful as hell to be able to trust her with my children, to know when they're in her care, I don't have to worry like I would with a stranger. Save for my brother and Mom, there's no one who adores Mila and Cody more. Does she have any idea how much she means to me? how grateful I've been for our friendship and all the nights she's let me wrap myself around her in bed. I toss my t-shirt and jeans on the ground next to the bed and crawl in behind her. Her breathing is slow and deep, and though I'm relieved we don't have to talk about all the shit that went down tonight because I'm beat, I hate letting unresolved issues linger. I did that with Allison, allowed too many unspoken things go, and I don't want to make that mistake again. Baby, I whisper as I hug her to me. She's not a terribly deep sleeper, but tonight she's out. I almost forgot she had her sister's shower today. Tori must be worn out. And when she got home, you made her babysit. Nice job, asshole. Wishing I could wake her and apologize, tell her how sorry I am to put her in that position. I settle for whispering it to her and hoping we get time tomorrow to have this conversation face to face. If tonight has clarified anything for me, it's that I can't do this. Life, the ranch, the business, without her help. But more than that, I don't want to do it without her.
Chapter 46. Tori. The ingredients seem to weigh 1,000,000 pounds as I mix in the mayo for a new potato salad recipe I'm testing for Cody's birthday party next week. My mind snags on Logan and Ethan's argument last night, their voices animated enough to swell through my closed bedroom door as I was dozing off, drained from my sister's shower and the Allison drama. Was it arguing? All I remember is Ethan saying, "It's not what you think." Those words send chills down my arms. Because cheaters say those kind of things, my heart warns. No, no, Tontita. Ethan is not Jamie. It's a mantra I've reminded myself of all summer. Just because Ethan and Allison talked over a glass of wine does not mean anything happened. Rationally, I understand this. Rationally, I don't have a problem with the two of them needing to calm down to discuss the plan for Cody's birthday. But Looney Tunes Tori, the one who fails out of school when she's too depressed to get out of bed and attend class when her boyfriend cheated on her with his wife? Yeah, she needs help stepping away from the ledge, because she's screaming I'm being naive. My stomach knots at the thought I might come out the loser again. Maybe I should take a step back. Maybe Ethan isn't ready for more. Maybe the kids need time to adjust to everything that happened this summer. Basically everything Ethan told me after Allison found us that Sunday morning in the back of his truck comes rushing back to me like a dark tide after a storm. I cannot believe I fell asleep before I could talk to him last night. With a wipe of my elbow across my clammy forehead, I sigh and taste the mixture before reaching for the mustard. Sometimes I wonder if I should have confronted Jamie about what he did last year instead of shutting him out. Sure, I slashed his tires like a fucking psycho, and that felt amazing in the moment. But it didn't do anything to help me deal with the emotional turmoil he'd unleashed on my life. Never mind that it was stupid as hell. What if he'd called the cops? It's not like I can afford to get in trouble again. Between my sister not wanting me to plan her baby shower and Ethan's cozy chat with Allison, that kernel of worry snowballs, making me question if this is the right place for me. Maybe I should be trying to carve out my own life in Austin after all. Ethan and I could take things slow and see each other when Allison has the kids. I've never done slow in my life, as my driving record indicates, but if that's what this family needs to move forward, I'm willing to take a step back. My hands drop to my sides, mashed potatoes sliding off the wooden spoon and landing on the floor with a wet plop. It would break my heart to leave the ranch. Already I feel the cracks forming at the thought, like fissures of ice on the sidewalk when it freezes, making it hard to breathe. I've been so intimate with Ethan, opened up to him in ways I've never opened up to any man before. But can I really afford to go any further if I'm some kind of rebound from Allison? I look up at the ceiling and blink away the heat building in my eyes. Please, Ethan, please don't jerk me around. When I woke up this morning, I could have sworn I was going to roll over and find Ethan, but the sun was up, which meant he was already in the barn, and I couldn't figure out if I'd only dreamt him wrapping his arms around me last night, or if we'd really slept in the same bed. The kids' voices bring me back to the present, where they're sitting at the kitchen table with a million crayons, coloring Paw Patrol images I printed off the internet. Back to apple slices and story time and dress up, simple things that bring so much joy to my life. No more crazy, I decide, mentally boxing up all of this emotional crap until I can deal with it later, because I have a job to do. I can't very well take care of these children if I'm an emotional wreck, and they deserve my best. But more than any job or expectation, I love Mila and Cody, and I always want to be in the moment with them instead of staring off into space like a lunatic. I clear my throat and try to sniffle quietly. Their jubilant laughter makes me break out into a watery smile. They're such a bright spot, always cheerful and loving and sweet. Truly, no one deserves happiness more than my tiny tykes. I turn around and, oh, holy shit. Sputtering, I'm caught with my mouth hanging open at the sight before me. Cody's head coated in butter, his mischievous eyes peeking up at me through the pale yellow slime. The condiment tub, gaping and empty, sits on the floor. Next to it, Cody-sized handprints decorate the hardwood floor like an art exhibit gone wrong. What just happened? He giggles.
Roar! Skelly!
Waving his hands, he grins up at me. Mila shields her smile with her hand like she's embarrassed.
He's a ghost for Halloween.
Internally, I'm yelling at myself for not paying better attention, because like everything else, this is my fault too.
Chapter 47. Ethan. With a haughty flick of her wrist, Mallory Mathers shoves a lock of red hair over her shoulder, all the better to glare at me. I glare back.
You need to lean back more. If you're sitting up that high in the saddle, your ass is gonna go flying off that new filly of yours faster than you can blink.
Maybe we should call it a day.
It's your dollar. You want to quit 20 minutes early? Be my guest.
I'm in a foul mood, and Mallory's piss-poor attitude is gnawing on my last nerve. All I want to do is head into the house, hug my kids, and kiss my girlfriend. Make sure they're okay after last night. But no, I'm sweating my balls off while I deal with this spoiled princess. Mallory's eyes narrow like she's mentally murdering me, and I force a smile. No sense in actually being murdered.
Cool off your horse. You know the routine, and put your saddle in the right place this time.
Last week, she left it in the stall instead of in the tack room. Almost had a hemorrhage when I saw the damn thing. She's off her rocker if she thinks I'm gonna clean up after her again. It's barely 10 a.m., but the heat is unforgiving. Sweat barrels down me like I just hopped out of the shower. As soon as my client is gone, I can take a break. I'm gonna have to, or I might pass out. I glance at the clock on the back wall. Where the hell is Logan? He was supposed to be here hours ago. Trudging toward the giant sink in the grooming stable, I swivel on the cold water and wash my face. The water is tepid at best, but I'll take anything right now. I'm wiping the salt out of my eyes when her voice makes me turn.
I won't be in next week since I'm heading to the Bahamas for a few days, but I'll be back for the party.
What party? I tilt my head. Surely she can't mean.
Your son's birthday.
She looks at me like I'm an idiot.
Allison called me about it yesterday. You really should give people more notice.
Let me get this straight. My ex-wife invited my client to Cody's birthday party before she even talked to me? What the fresh hell? As soon as Mallory's gone, I stomp toward the house, needing to sit down for this conversation I plan to have with Allison. She is out of her goddamn mind. I'm kicking off my filthy boots and hopping on one foot when I catch a glimpse in the kitchen where all hell has broken loose. Cody is covered in butter, and Mila is sliding and twirling on the mess like a nutty ballerina. They're both giggling uncontrollably. Where's Tori? Stepping closer, I finally let out a sigh of relief when I spot her bent over, face down, ass up, reaching for something that must have rolled under the stove. Corner of my mouth lifts. That is a beautiful ass. A chuckle escapes me at the insanity in this kitchen. The kids spot me and run full out, laughing and sliding toward me. Whoa, there. Jesus, sound like I'm talking to one of my horses. They ignore me and go crashing into my legs. We end up in a buttery pile on the floor. Holy crap, that hurt.
I can explain,
Tori shouts as she shuffles toward us. Watch out. From this angle, it's easy to see the oil slick on the floor that my kids dragged along the wood. It happens in slow motion, Tori wiping out. Arms windmilling, legs flying out from under her, the yelp she cries before she hits the ground. I feel helpless under a pile of sticky children. Shit.
Babe, you okay?
I grunt as I slowly peel Mila and Cody off me. Tori moans, slowly reaching around to rub her elbow, then her ass. Speaking of ass, mine hurts like the dickens. That floor is harder than it looks. I'm limping toward her when the front door closes and my brother's voice rings out.
Holy shit! What happened here?
But it's the gasp that follows that has me looking up.
Good lord, boy! I didn't raise y'all in a barn!
My mother chuckles at her joke.
Grandma!
My kids shout and scramble toward her, but I snag the backs of their t-shirts, stopping them in their buttery tracks.
Nope. Bath time first. Then you two miscreants can hug your grandma.
My mother looks tickled to find her brood in such a disarray.
Need some help?
I blow out a breath and send up a prayer of thanks. You have no idea.
Chapter 48. Tori. It comes at the perfect time. I stare at the text message, wondering if I've somehow willed it into existence. Cat. Can you help me this week? Please, I'm desperate. I'm behind on a ton of orders, but I'm too big and too tired to do this on my own. I'll owe you. When I don't respond because I'm too busy rereading the message, another one pops up. Cat. Want my truck? You can have it. She must really need my help. Cat. Stay with me. Maybe a week or two. I'll pay you. More than the sisterly wage of love and tacos. I chuckle. She knows I'd do anything for her for free. A wave of relief settles over me. At least this way I can leave on my own terms instead of having Ethan let me go. But when I tell him my plan, he looks confused. He's paying bills in his office, and I'm sitting in front of him. It's a very boss-employee moment, which is weird since we haven't had this kind of vibe since he peeled off my panties in the back of his truck. His eyebrows pull together.
What are you talking about? Don't you want to stay?
A hurt expression flashes on his face, but then it's gone. Did I imagine it? I nod. Of course I want to stay, but where do you suggest I bunk? With your mom? We were all surprised Beverly returned early, but she was homesick. She's staying here for now because Logan needs a few days to clean his house, which probably means he needs to clear out 10 million pizza boxes and trash cans full of condoms. Gross. Ethan has a spacious house, but it has limitations. Where's Beverly supposed to sleep? With Mila, the human octopus? Beverly should have my room. I could sleep on the couch or on the floor in the sewing room, but I can't bring myself to suggest it. The idea of sleeping on the floor reeks of desperation, and that embarrasses me. Nothing used to embarrass me, but I'm starting to think it's because I didn't know better. In any case, I'm not shacking up with Ethan while his mom is here. He doesn't say anything, and I shift in my seat. Look, Ethan, I know you can't afford me, and since your mom is home, I figured you'd want to save the money. When I was in here cleaning his office, I caught a glimpse of his bank statements and bills, including the one from his attorney, which almost made me lose my lunch. No wonder the man is stressed out. I may not have much to my name, but I don't have nearly the overhead that he does. He motions behind me.
Close the door and come here.
My eyes widen. What?
You heard me.
It takes a second to unfreeze, and I make sure the hallway is empty before I close the door. As I stride toward him, I shake my head. I'm not having sex with you when your mom is in the other room. That's another reason I need to go. I can see it now. Ethan sneaking into my room, his mother hearing us, me dying of embarrassment. I want his mom to like me, and she won't if she hears me riding her son into oblivion. It's a small miracle we haven't traumatized the kids with our nighttime activities. But when I reach his side of the desk, he tugs me into his lap and gives me a slow, sweet kiss.
Don't want you to go.
His voice makes me shiver. It's almost enough to overshadow the throb on my hip from the giant bruise I got this morning when I wiped out on the butter. I almost say it. Almost tell him I love him. It's right there on my lips. But something holds me back. Ask me to stay. I run my finger along the A&M logo on his t-shirt. I don't want to go either, but I think the writing's on the wall. My eyes sting, the reality of what I'm doing hitting sharp and deep, like I've impaled myself. But the momentum is gaining around, and I can't stop. Cat needs help, and you don't, I choke out. Doesn't he see I'm obviously sucking at my job? First, Mila burns her hand, and then the kids run wild with the butter right under my nose. What if something worse had happened? I wouldn't be able to live with myself if the kids got hurt because I was distracted. In the silence, I start to chicken out when the reality of what I'm doing sinks in, because I don't want to go. If I give him space, will Allison dig her claws deeper? Will that client he had this morning get a shot with him? Will he question why he's with me? My heart is pounding. Can he feel it? I swallow and wait for him to say something. Tell me to stay, as your girlfriend, not as an employee. Tell me you love me. He doesn't. A big, calloused hand cups my face.
Is this about last night?
He sighs.
I wanted to talk about that.
Driving up to the ranch while he and Allison argued on the porch feels like a lifetime ago. I shake my head. No, I sniffle. Not really. Though it is about how he probably needs time to figure out what he wants, it might not be me. Don't fucking cry, Tori. In the hallway, the thump of children's feet tells me we're out of time.
You're still my girl, right?
He tilts my chin up so I have to look at him. Even through my tears, his stormy blue eyes captivate me. Yeah. A question wells up in my heart. But are you still my guy? A mockingbird tweets cheerfully in the tree outside Cat's kitchen. The sun shines bright and high in the sky. Everything belies the misery in my bones. It should be raining and gray and cold, like my sad little soul. My sister side-eyes me again. Are you sure you're okay? It's been days and you've barely said a word. Are you mad at me? No, of course I'm not mad at you. Stop talking to me or I'll screw up your recipe. Food is forgiving. Her bath and body supplies, not so much. I'm making a batch of bath salts for her lavender company, and I always misread the ingredients when she's talking to me. It's the reason I didn't ask her to hire me instead of working for Ethan earlier this summer. I screwed up a huge order for her last year, and it was an expensive mistake. Really, I shouldn't be measuring anything when my head is such a mess, but I can't let my pregnant sister do this herself. I'm sure Brady could manage, but he has one more week at the tattoo parlor before he takes off on maternity leave. What's it called for dudes? Paternity leave? My sister tugs on my shirt. Come on, Manita. Please talk to me. I know something is wrong. You haven't tried to embarrass me all week. Oh my God, fine. I miss Ethan and the kids. She tugs a lock of hair. I'm surprised you haven't gone over to see them. I would have had he asked me. But I don't say that. Clearing my throat, I shrug. We've texted a bit, had two awkward phone calls. He's up early and exhausted by the time he's ready to crash. Not super conducive to being chatty on the phone. My big plan to keep this relationship going while I'm back in Austin is slowly withering away. Ethan's not big on the phone. He's clearly not comfortable texting. Those are required criteria for living in different towns, even though they're not terribly far apart. The whole thing makes me irritable. I'm trying to be optimistic. He called me twice. He says he misses me. That's something. But I won't bang down his door while he has so much going on. I have one small bright spot. He said once we wrap up the party, he wants to take me out on that date. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk for real, to find some time to connect. Because right now, he feels like a stranger. But first, I have to get through the party with Allison and her friends. Kat wipes the counter. You still doing the food for Cody's birthday? Yep. Beverly gave me the head count yesterday and I almost choked on my spit. 65 people and rising. Thank you for inviting the entire county, Allison. Bev said I could hire a caterer to save the bill and they'd reimburse me. That's a relief. I roll my eyes. Ethan can't afford a caterer. Except for the cake, I'm going to make everything. She gasps, and I look at her sharply. You think I can't pull it off? No, of course you can. It's just a lot of work. Newsflash, I'm a hard worker. I might mess up once in a while, but I always give my whole heart. This way, Ethan only has to pay for the ingredients. Of course you are. I'm not suggesting you're not. I'll keep it simple. I have to pray I don't screw up for once and hope that Allison and I can stay out of each other's way at the party. I might need a miracle.
Chapter 49. Ethan. You need help bringing everything over? With one shoulder, I hold the phone to my ear while I button my jeans. Tori pauses on the other end.
I can manage, but thanks.
I can't believe you made all that food. You're a stubborn woman, you know that? She laughs, and it sounds so goddamn good. It makes me realize I don't know the last time I heard her laugh, and that's wrong.
I've been told that once or twice,
she says softly. Listen, I know you were trying to save me some money, which I appreciate, but I want to pay you for the time you spent cooking. I'm sure you've busted your ass on this like you do with everything, so I'm not taking no for an answer.
I wasn't doing this because I wanted to get paid, Ethan.
I smile at the fierceness in her voice. My girl is balls to the wall. Love that about her. Darling, I didn't say you were. She huffs.
I'm doing this because...
Because you're awesome, and you love Cody. I get it. I'm still paying you. She might be my girlfriend, but there's no way I'm going to take advantage of her time or good intentions. Now get your ass over here. I fucking miss you. Can't believe I haven't seen her in almost 2 weeks. This shit ends now. I'd gotten the impression she wanted space, that maybe the kids and I had overwhelmed her. After Cody took a bath in butter, Tori looked like she'd had enough of our antics and needed a break. God knows my children and I are a handful, but time's up. She's mine, and she belongs here with me. If she'll have me. The sound of tires along the gravel in front of my house is music to my ears. Peeking out the front blinds, I spot Tori hopping out of Kat's truck. So she'll drive her sister's truck, but doesn't want to drive mine? What's that about? Logan, I call out. Keep an eye on the kids. Gonna help Tori unload. That's a mistake, because they hear me. My two daredevils come tearing down the hall, screaming my girlfriend's name, and I smile. They miss her too. I was hoping to have a minute with Tori to kiss her until she begged to stay tonight. I'll have to drag her away during the party at some point to make that happen. All right. I open the front door and hoist my son into my arms. Come here, bud. He's too excited. With my luck, he'll take a tumble and land face first. That's no way to start a birthday party. Tori is a vision in jeans and a white tank, hair blowing in the wind, all that beautiful golden skin, and fuck me, that smile. Hey, babe. I kiss her forehead, and she grins up at me while hugging my daughter, who's attached herself to Tori's leg. We've missed you around here.
Yeah?
Her eyes widen. The vulnerability coming off her makes my stomach tighten. Why does she seem surprised? So much? Doesn't she know that? How much we want her here? Fuck. Haven't I told her how much I need her? I hadn't wanted to overwhelm her, but now I'm wondering if she's been waiting for me. Jesus, I'm dense sometimes. Can we chat later? I whisper in her ear. Her eyebrows furrow. It's all good, I promise. I kiss her lips. It's quick because my kids are with us, but it's obvious she and I need some time alone to talk this out. We get all the food set up buffet style on picnic tables my brother set up in the backyard under an enormous white tent Allison's parents loaned us. They entertain often and offered it to us, probably so they don't melt under the sun. This looks amazing. My stomach rumbles as I check out the spread. Homemade potato salad, chicken salad, fruit salad, barbecue chicken, different kinds of dips. My woman outdid herself. Pretty sure that's gonna taste better than anything we could have gotten catered. Hells yeah! Logan leans over and grabs a chunk of watermelon. My mom smacks it out of his hand. Manners! Wait until the guests finish arriving. She turns and pulls Tori into a hug.
This looks delicious, dear. I knew you were a keeper the moment I met you.
A smile lifts my lips. Mom is 100% Team Tori. She apologized the other night for barging in on us, surprising us with her return, but that's nonsense. We'll figure out how to make everything work. It'll be better now that Mom's moved back in with my brother. Though he's less excited now that he has no place to sex up his lady friends.
You know, some people might be vegan.
Allison saunters up, a scowl on her face. How was I ever attracted to this woman? Was she always this mean? I open my mouth to respond, but Mom beats me to it.
This is Texas, Allison. Finicky guests can eat the fruit salad or suck on some hay.
Allison rolls her eyes and then glares at Tori.
Don't you want to change?
Of course, Allison is gussied up in overpriced designer threads. Be nice, I growl under my breath. I'm not fucking kidding. We've had it out, and I've warned her that Tori is important to me. I can't really make heads or tails of Allison's behavior. One minute she's irate and throwing temper tantrums, the next she's all smiles. She's making me dizzy with her back and forth. Tori shrugs, looking uncomfortable.
I wasn't planning to change. This is what I wear.
Whatever.
Turning to me, Allison motions across the yard.
Remember that the Harrisons want a trainer and the Dumonts are looking for help breeding their mare.
For a woman who had zero interest in the ranch when we were married, she sure has pulled a turnabout. Half of these people are friends of her parents, and Allison says I should schmooze. Yeah, I don't schmooze. But I'm trying not to be a dick, because I suppose this is her way of supporting the ranch. It's true we can always use new clients, but I underestimated how annoyed I'd be having to deal with my ex-wife. Keep telling myself it's worth it if I get the kids. I'll give every last penny in my pocket to make that happen. When Allison heads for her parents, I grab Tori's hand and pull her off to the side. We just gotta get through today. I lower my voice. My lawyer is finalizing the terms of the contract. Pretty sure after this weekend, things will change around here. I fucking hope so because I can't stand Allison's bullshit any longer. Tori nods and gives me a hesitant smile. She's about to say something when banging on the other side of the tent starts up again.
What's going on?
I motion behind me. My friend James is putting the finishing touches on a new swing set for the kids.
They're gonna love it.
Her brilliant smile wanes.
I hope it wasn't too expensive, though.
I got a great deal since I helped him a while back when he was having trouble with his marriage. He kinda owes me. She puts her hand on my arm.
Mila and Cody will be so excited.
I hope so. This summer has been tough on them, and I wanted to do something extra special. I lean in closer. Wanna do something extra special for you, too. Can you stay over tonight? Before she answers, Mila tugs on her arm. I'm smiling down at my two favorite girls when my buddy smacks me on the back.
We're all set, Ethan.
James flashes that smile that's always gotten all the girls. It's gotten him in trouble once or twice with his wife, too. Glad he's changed it all around. He catches a glimpse of Tori and does a double take. I joke with him under my breath. Don't even think of flirting with my woman, asshole. A streak of jealousy rises in me when I consider James laying that charm on Tori. With a quick shake of my head, I shrug off the idea. He'd never do anything to threaten his marriage again, or our friendship.
Chapter 50. Tori. I'm glad I'm near the ground, kneeling next to Mila, because that voice would have knocked me over if I were standing. With a trembling hand, I balance myself against the ground beneath me and take a shallow breath. What is he doing here? I must have been a bad person in a prior life, because why else does this shit happen to me? I'm frozen, like a deer trapped on a long stretch of highway traffic. The only movement is my pounding heart that I can practically see thumping through my tank top. I peer around Mila, wondering if I'm experiencing some kind of psychotic break. How else can I explain why Jamie, my cheating douchebag ex, is standing a few feet away? He and Ethan are chatting it up like old friends, but I can't make sense of what they're saying because blood is rushing through my ears.
Babe, want you to meet someone.
Ethan turns and smiles down at me. That smile pierces my heart. Will he look at me the same way once he knows what happened, and that it happened with his friend? Oh God, I slept with one of Ethan's friends. I told Ethan the broad strokes of what went down with my ex, but not how I found out Jamie was married, and certainly not how my life imploded afterward. Fuck, fuck, fuck. I take the doll Mila was trying to hand me, and she bolts for her friends who are surrounding the swing set. The one Jamie just set up. Dusting off my shins, I slowly stand on unsteady legs. I feel all knobby-kneed and lightheaded. Maybe I'll pass out or die from a heat stroke and spare myself this conversation. Swallowing, I let Ethan take my clammy hand.
James, this is my girlfriend, Tori.
I steel myself and look at the dirtbag, who seems almost as shocked as I am to see him. He's hulkier than when we were together, which is silly because he was already a big guy. Now he reminds me of a beefed-up bulldog, all bulky mass punctuated with a tiny head. James, is it? I ask, not bothering to hide the venom in my voice. Not Jamie? Asshole was full of lies. I'm not surprised he goes by a different name. He laughs uneasily and shifts back and forth.
Tori! Jesus Christ, girl, it's been a while.
Ah, the fucker is going to admit he knows me? This should be fun. Nausea is swirling in my gut, acid thick in the back of my throat. Not since your birthday last summer, I add helpfully. Ethan looks back and forth between us.
You guys know each other?
I open my mouth to spew forth all the ways James can go to hell when he laughs.
Yeah, I know Tori. She used to bartend at this place in Austin my buddies and I used to go to sometimes, but it's been a while.
He gives me a pointed look to keep my mouth shut. That's how you're going to play it? Ethan wraps his arm around my shoulder. I'm so grateful to have him next to me, I could cry. James's eyes narrow as he watches us together, the cool smile spreading on his face, making me more anxious.
I thought you were trying to get Allison back. It's a shame you spent all last year wanting to make it work, hoping to win her back.
Fuck my life. He did not just say that. Ethan coughs.
We went south a long time ago. Not sure there was anything to work out. Huh, that's weird. Pretty sure I just heard her tell Felicia that you guys might reconcile.
He points his chin to the other side of the tent where Allison is talking to a woman with long black hair. Jamie's wife. Yes, I remember her naked ass as she blew her husband. Isn't this a festive party?
No, man.
Ethan squeezes my shoulder.
You must have misheard.
I'm going to hurl. Would it be wrong to shank Jamie? I mean, James, first? Beverly waves everyone over to the buffet table, and I skirt out of the way, a potent mixture of shame and contempt rounding the curves of my heart like a raging river.
Tori, dear, Beverly whispers. Can you do me a favor and grab more napkins out of the kitchen?
I've never moved so fast in my life. Except for the cake cutting, I manage to hide out in the kitchen, whipping up more fruit salad or dip, washing dishes, making sure the kids make it to the potty in time. I eventually fall into the familiar routine of making a few guests mixed drinks, When Beverly asks if I'm okay, I tell her I have a headache, and she pats my hand sweetly and offers pain relievers. When Ethan asks if I'd like to join him outside, I use the same excuse, even though lying to him makes me feel guilty. But there's no telling what I might say to Jamie right now, and I won't let myself make a scene at Cody's birthday party. Not with so many of Ethan's business associates here. This is where my sister would tell me to lock down the crazy, but it's not worth the repercussions of being unfiltered. I'll tell Ethan the truth after the guests have left. Not here, though. Not now. Through the back window, the sounds of the party waft up through the late afternoon and early evening. Children laughing, women gossiping, men talking about horses and beer and cigars. The scent of barbecue and cedar floating in the air. On a typical day, I'd love this kind of party. I'd be playing with the kids on the new swing set, joking and mingling and having a blast. Taking Ethan's hand so we could dance to the Rolling Stones drifting from the sound system. Wild horses, I think with a smile. Logan must have made the playlist. Instead, I'm hiding and confused and hurt. Because it pains me to see Allison planted next to Ethan at the picnic table with her parents and his mom. It hurts to see the easy way they laugh and the picture-perfect way they look when Cody climbs onto his dad's lap and Mila wanders over to her mom's side. But what can I do? Nothing. Because they were a family long before I arrived on the ranch. Allison is obviously on her best behavior, and I feel murderous when she places her hand on Ethan's shoulder and leans toward him to whisper something. You're in over your head, Sugar Plum. Jamie's voice in my ear makes me jerk away. She's a done deal. You think Ethan can resist that beautiful woman and her family's money? He trails a finger over my shoulder and I slap it away. Don't fucking touch me, Jamie. My breath is a harsh pant, that lightheaded feeling back with a vengeance. I just hate seeing you get hurt is all. Don't want you caught up in this mess. That's rich coming from you. I'm sure your great sense of altruism is at the heart of your advice.
I step around the island, needing to put space between us. He follows two steps behind like a predator.
Honestly, I think you probably saved their marriage. Ethan might deny it to you, but I know for a fact they've been talking every day.
The air in my lungs stalls when I look for some hint that he's lying, but he stares me straight in the eye. In my head, the comparison is quick. I've barely spoken to Ethan during the last 2 weeks, but he's been talking to Allison daily. The corner of his mouth tilts up and he continues his assault to my heart.
Want to hear the ironic part here?
He lifts his thumb over his shoulder.
Ethan's the one who talked me into staying with Felicia. Said the side chick I was seeing wasn't worth my time, wasn't worth my marriage. That marriage was sacred and worth any sacrifice. Wise words. Ones I'm guessing he'll probably heed once Allison tells him she's reconsidered the divorce and wants to come home. I think she saw the hot piece of ass Ethan was fucking and had a change of heart, and she has you to thank for showing her how good she had it. See? I told you. Ironic.
He laughs, the sound scraping over my skin like white-hot coals. A boulder of emotion builds in my chest, and I shake my head. You're lying, isn't he?
Sugar Plum, I've lied about a lot of things in my life, but I'm not now.
With one hand on the counter, he leans back, cool and collected. He's telling the truth, at least in part, but which part? Shoving his hands in his pockets, he lowers his voice.
Why are you with Ethan anyway? I thought you and I had a good thing.